Hey guys, obviously today we have an interesting combination of, we have all the men here and most of the kids with us as well. Okay, so I need to choose my words very wisely. As straight as I can talk with men, but still keep in consideration that we have the kids in the room. So I'm going to pray for us all, and I suggest that you also pray for me. then I'm going to, yeah, you'll see. Okay, Father, we want to thank you that today, Lord, we want to, as men and as children, God, we want to lay down just our own, just preoccupation with anything, God, with our perception even of you sometimes, and of religion and of church, and even of masculinity, of being a man and being a child even, God. And we want to lay down this time to just spend time with you, God. And we dedicate ourselves to, and our hearts to be open to receive from you, God. And God, I personally pray that the words that are from myself and that does not come from you, God, I pray that you would silence, that you would mute that out of our hearts, God, in Jesus' name. And pray that your word will really accomplish that which you set it out to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to do a little intro, and then we're going to watch 10 to 15 minutes of Lion King. Yay! Very... Okay. Chips is achter. Alright, so for those, for our visitors that is here for the first time, we haven't had this sort of setup before, okay? Not on a Sunday morning at least. But this is a great opportunity. This actually was initiated by the ladies. They wanted a separate service. And so we, obviously, that left us and the kids. I also feel that this is from God, and he wants to speak into our hearts. So between the kids being here, between Elaine also maybe sometimes tugging on my pants and whatever, try and really gauge with what is God talking to me individually about. And I really believe that it's significant. There is, yes, I'm going to play one or two snippets. Yes, I'm going to break us up halfway through. We're going to break up, and the rest, the ministry time, we're actually going to chat to one another, and we're going to pray for one another. Okay, so strap in, get comfortable, or it might be uncomfortable for a lot of people. But it is fine. God is still in control. And Bernay, what are you doing?
That's why it is a bit neglected.
Oh, thanks. Right. Okay, so the session that I wanna chat to us about is I've just entitled it called Identify Yourself. And it really stems from the question of who are you? And is it loud enough?
Okay.
Yeah, just asking. So little. Okay, sorry. I did warn you about that. Okay, so it really stems from the question of who are you? And if I have to ask you, who are you, what are typically the answers that you'll give me? Anybody? Nietling, I saw that hand. If I had to ask you, who are you, what would you say?
My name is Nietling.
Okay, that is your name. Who are you? Where are you from? Okay, so that's where you're from. So who are you? You don't know. Okay. No, fair enough. Yes. The reason I ask that question is because that as soon as we ask, who are you, we typically, and that's fine, there's nothing wrong with it, is we introduce ourselves to what is our name, where do we come from, what do I do? But who we are inherently stems from whose we are. Meaning that if my surname is Blichnert, so in essence, yes, I am my dad's son as well, but that is who's so in essence also there's a little bit of relatedness there, but I'm digressing slightly. Whose we are effectively determines who we are. And what I'm trying to say with that is that if we are a child of God, that determines who we are. That redefines absolutely everything of our whole existence, our whole being. So I'd suggest if your boss who doesn't necessarily know God comes and asks you who you are, don't necessarily give him the answer of, I am God's favorite son of this and this and this and this, okay? So obviously contextualize the way that you answer that question. But the reason I'm saying that is because I want to get to the core of who we are. And we, specifically us, as men, we are sons of God. The ladies, some of the ladies here, they are daughters of God. Okay? We are sons of God, and that is how we are defined. In John 1 verse 12, scripture says that for those that have received him, those who have called upon his name, he's given the right to become children of God. And that is in essence what today I just want us to a little bit chat about. If we have not received God yet, we have not received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, there is also truth to that we are not defined by being his. We are defined by we're dead in relationship to God, in essence. And how you define yourself outside of God's definition, you can put absolutely any definition on yourself. And that's why a lot of what I experience and what I see around me is that a lot of men who do not know God try to find themselves out there. They're trying to find what is the meaning, what is the purpose of life. But in essence, our meaning and our definition is locked into who God is and who God says that we are. And so, I don't want to digress too much, but in essence, just there's a lot that God is talking to us as a church movement about as well at the moment, about authority, submission and authority, getting divine order right, those sort of things. And in that, There's what is locked in there is obviously if we're talking about submission, we're talking about authority. The first place where that becomes relevant, very real, is in our marriages. Because we as men, if we're married, we have a responsibility to lead our wives and our children. And there comes a certain amount of authority that comes with that. The other side is true as well, is that now our wives are coming under us, and I'm not reading a lot of scripture here. I'm talking about a lot of biblical principles now, because I don't have time to go through all of the scriptures. Is that our wives come under us to submit under us, and that is a lot of times very hard, especially in today's day and age where women sort of need to learn how to fight for themselves. The biblical view is more out of you are under your father's covering. And when you get married, you move out under your father's covering and you come under the covering of your husband. But that view is very much disintegrated in a large sense. And we need to be cognizant of that fact as well when we are pursuing a girl to maybe marry her one day or with our wives, etc. Is the fact that, yes, all of us, and like Ian rightfully said this morning, that and we might make a couple of mistakes along the way. All of us are imperfect. We are going to make some mistakes. And our wives or the woman that we're going to marry one day, she's going to have a certain, the way that she related to her father and his imperfectness, we need to be aware of when we enter into that relationship. And The reason I'm just catching on to that is because we come into a marriage and we very much romanticize the idea, and it is romantic, okay, that it needs to be romanticized. However, it's two imperfect beings coming together. And now that's where the tacky hits the road, and sometimes when the first speed bump hits, then we're like, I didn't sign up for that part. And the only reason I bring that up is because we're not supposed to necessarily stand alone. What I've experienced, I've been November coming, I'll be married 5 years. There's other people in the room that's married a lot more years than I am. So I can only speak from my experience of the last 5 years. They'll be able to impart a little bit more. And for the single guys, just stay with me, okay? Because this is very relevant. This is very relevant to you guys as well, because we have an opportunity. God is busy dealing with this whole thing of divine order, submission, authority, those sort of things. And when you enter into your marriage, those sort of things we are trusting would be in order when you actually already walk into that relationship. Okay. So what I typically see happening either in relationships, in married relationships, or just with us as men in general at the moment, is that a lot of things are designed, or a lot of things that happen to us come and they intimidate us. Or it brings, after a while, intimidation comes and it brings fear. So for an example, for my first at least two and a half years of marriage was, I want to call it a hell, but it was quite tough. Okay? It wasn't the romanticized picture that a lot of people have, and I'm not saying that everybody has that. Okay? So don't, this is not an inferior installing message supposed to be. But all I'm saying is that my first two and a half years was really, really tough. I am a lot more a pastoral guy, which in essence means I'm a lot more accommodating, a lot more relaxed. My wife is a lot more go-getter sort of thing. She processes things ahead of time, 3 months ahead of time. I process things 3 months after it happened. So obviously those sort of things brings in its dynamics, and her relationship with her father wasn't that great. So a lot of the way that she related to me at its core, a little bit of a broken relationship with her father. And praise God, the last 2.5 years have been very much different. And what would have made a very, very big difference to me is when we got married, I think the church here in Johannesburg, the Shofar church here was a year old, maybe a year and a half old. And so there was a little family, Steph, faithful. He's been here all the while. Obviously there wasn't a lot of married couples in the congregation at the time. And that in itself obviously was challenging. So the pastor at that time was Jaco Prinsloo, and I'd be able to call him up in the middle of the night at some stage, when Heinrich was district leader and he was in Pretoria still. I'd be able to call him also just for the odd counseling session sort of thing. And that was about it. But we have a dynamic here at the moment where we really should lean into one another, especially as brothers. And what I tend to see happening is, especially in our marriages, and there's a place for that, where we overcompensate in terms for the safety of let's call it the weaker vessel for our relationship. And there's a place where you don't just blabber out, put out your dirty laundry for everybody to see. There's a place for that. What I'm saying is that if you need to be able to open up to at least one or two brothers, where you are able to say, listen, not to badmouth your wife or anything like that, but to be able to open up and say, dude, I'm really struggling with this. And what I've, my experience is that there's very little things in life that gets you down as much than when it's not going well in your marriage. Nothing. Thanks, Andries. I'm saying very little because I've only had 5 years. It's like when your car can break, there's a lot of things that can happen. You can even be in an accident, all sorts of things. You can still go. But there's nothing that hits you in the core as much than if it doesn't go well in your marriage. And that's why I just want to put it out there, not to give a sermon on it, just to actually encourage all of us guys to start opening up at least to one or two other guys that are also serving God, in order not to gossip, in order that we can pray together. Because we can talk about a lot of things, but the moment you start praying about things, that's when we start bringing God's will into our marriages. Okay, that was for the married guys. Now it's for the married and the single guys. There's a lot of temptations out there. And this is where I need to choose my words very carefully. There's a lot of temptations out there. I'm not going to name them all. That distort the picture of what a woman is supposed to be for us. And a lot of times when we talk about accountability, this is where the subject that comes up. But accountability is more than this part of the subject. Accountability is also keeping one another accountable for the purposes that God has laid on your heart. A lot of times when we talk accountability, we start thinking a romantic side. And accountability is actually very important for the promises and the things that God has laid on your heart. To go back to God, to the guy and say, didn't God say this and this to you? Now I see that you're off to Brazil or you're off to Australia, but that doesn't fit into the picture that you told me that God laid on your heart a couple of years ago. How does that fit in? And maybe God does lead him to Australia, but then he'll also sort of have to put the puzzle together of how does that fit into what God said earlier. So I'm just using that as an illustration. So only reason I'm mentioning that is that we need to start opening up to one another. We have mixed small groups here in our congregations for the guys that are visiting. We have mixed small groups, meaning that the guys and the ladies in the same small group. And a lot of times our small groups, we have a whole small group together, and there's not always the room and the time to open up to the guys because the ladies are there. But I want to encourage you to, if you're not the facilitator, to ask the facilitator, or if your facilitator is a lady, to ask her to say, we want to spend time with the guys one-on-one or us four together at least once a month or every 2 weeks, where we just want to fight and then get over it. Which reminds me, not like Bismarck, eh? Okay. No, actually, like Bismarck, just don't get penalized. Okay. So, anyway, that's a whole different discussion on its own. Okay, I'm going to stop just here for the moment. I'm going to show a little piece out of Lion King. It spoke a lot into my life, and that's the reason I want to show this. And it comes back to remembering who you are. When we've overstepped certain boundaries, when we've messed up, when the enemy comes and accuses us and say that we are not worth anything, and I want to say that this comes also in for identity, in terms of if you're struggling with things of the past, homosexually, anything like that. This question of this statement of remember who you are, I want it to ring. So this is a little bit of entertainment, but it is also, I hope and I trust that this will bring something and drop something in your heart that has an eternal value. The one thing that you'll see, and I don't want to mention it afterwards, is that, let me rather put it afterwards. Okay, then.
I ate like a pig.
Pumbaa, you are a pig.
Oh, right.
Timon!
Yeah?
Ever wonder what those sparkling dots are up there?
Pumbaa, I don't wonder. I know.
Oh, what are they?
They're fireflies. Fireflies that got stuck up in that big bluish bat thing.
Oh, gee. I always thought they were balls of gas burning billions of miles away.
Pumbaa, with you, everything's gas.
Simba, what do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on. Well, come on. We've got 2 hours. Please.
Give?
Somebody once told me that the great kings of the past are up there, watching over us.
Really?
You mean a bunch of royal dead guys are watching us?
Pretty dumb, huh?
Oh, you're killing me, Oh! Was it something I said?
What else matters? You're alive.
Timon and Pumbaa, you learned to love them. What? So many things to tell.
You've been alive all this time.
Oh!
Sorry.
What's happened to you? You're not the Simba I remember.
You're right. I'm not. Now are you satisfied?
No. Just disappointed.
You know, you're starting to sound like my father.
Good. At least one of us does.
Listen, you think you can just show up and tell me how to live my life? You don't even know what I've been through.
I would if you just tell me.
Forget it.
Fine.
She's wrong. I can't go back. I wouldn't prove anyway. Won't change anything. You can't change the past. You said you'd always be there for me! But you're not. And it's because of me. It's my fault. It's my fault.
It'll grow right back.
Creepy little monkey.
You stop following me?
Who are you?
The question is, who are you?
I thought I knew. Now I'm not so sure.
Well, I know who you are. Shh. Come here. It's a secret.
Enough already. What is that supposed to mean, anyway?
It means you're a baboon. And I'm not.
I think you're a little confused.
Wrong. I'm not the one who's confused. You don't even know who you are.
Oh, and I suppose you know.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait. You know my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
No, wrong again! He's alive! And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on!
Just one now.
to my reflection.
No!
You see, he lives in you.
Go back!
I'm not what I used to be. Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long.
Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it, or learn from it. You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No, that's a stick! Hey! Where are you going?
I'm going back!
Yeah, I'm just gonna read us two or three scriptures, and then the last one I want us to read again, to read together. In 1 John 2 verse 16, it says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." And, those are specifically three areas that sum up a lot of things. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, meaning lust of the eyes, meaning wanting more stuff, wanting more things, wanting to travel more, wanting this, or you can even put unhealthy relationships or want. Yeah, you can fill in the blanks there for lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. I mean, unnecessarily distinguish too much between the two, but the other one is obviously for us as men, it's relevant of the way that we look at ladies. And one of the things that we're gonna do when we break up and when we're gonna pray as well is that we're gonna pray specifically also for the city, especially with the sexpo that's gonna come up soon. We're gonna pray for the men of the city to not tolerate things like that anymore. I mean, you see the billboards everywhere. And it's also us as God's children to stand up against these things. And first and primarily, it's in intercession, and we need to pray against these things. But also then, down the line, how do we pursue getting rid of these things somehow out of our society? But it's going to start with getting rid of it out of our own lives. And not to digress to there any further. And the other one is pride for us as men. Pride is a biggie, and this is where I wanna latch onto the fact that we need to open up a little bit to one another. But the Bible says that pray for one another, also confess your sins to one another. And the thing is with those two scriptures, you cannot do that in isolation. You cannot love one another if you're alone. And that's why it's important to come into relationship with other guys. And the thing that breaks down pride as well is just the confession of it with somebody else. So, you know, ek is nogals trots. I don't admit my own faults or mistakes very easily. And face it. I mean, we don't want to. We as men, we want to be right, and we often not. And that's a very, very big thing. And it's important that we do take pride in the things that we do, and those sort of things. But there's also an unhealthy and there's a healthy pride in that. Okay. The next scripture for Ephesians 5 verse 3 says, "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind, of impurity, or of greed." Thanks, Stefan. "Because these are improper for God's holy people." I've just put that scripture in there because for a lot of us, not even a hint, we've misread, or we've missed that part. Okay, we think that if we tolerate certain things still. Okay, not even a hint means not even a hint. That means nothing, nada, not even a speck on a wall sort of thing. I want to just put it out there, guys. Be extreme when it comes to getting these things out of our lives. These things of the world, these lusts and stuff. Be extreme. Okay? There's programs that you can download on your computer that will send a report to your buddy once a month of the sites that you went to visit that are suspect. Can send those things to you if you want it. Problem is, you might have to, if you're in a company, you might have to go to your IT guy to say, "I just want to download this program onto your computer." What an opportunity to testify. Can I recommend it to you as well? No. Be wise in these things. Be extreme. Okay? Our phones, I don't know if the same sort of programs work for our phones. These days are very accessible. But be extreme in a way that you're going to give one of your friends, say, "I want you to ask me this question, this question, this question," every week or every second week. And the challenge that I found with that, and I want to say that applies to the married guys as well. When you get married, these things don't stop. And that's a lot of the times the problem, is before we get married, we think those problems are going to be solved once we get married. It doesn't. Okay? So be open and transparent, at least with someone. Okay? So when you are engaging with somebody in your small group and they don't want to open up, that is fine. You don't crowbar their hearts open. But what I do want you to ask them is, are you opening up to someone at least? Because that is a problem. If you don't want to open up, there's a lot of challenges that lies in that. Okay, so I've made that very clear. If you need to amputate, come chat to me first. Okay, I'm gonna read just something, a book that I'm busy reading. It's Bringing Up Girls from Dr. James Dobson. There's a book called Bringing Up Boys as well. Jy mag hy kinders kry, ja. Yeah, I'm gonna read this. Obviously I haven't read Bringing Up Boys because I haven't got a boy yet. But I'd recommend this for anybody. There's two or three chapters in here that specifically talks to dads. And it cuts you right to the heart and puts actually a lot of things in perspective of just women in general. Which we can do all the help with. Okay, so he's quoting here from another guy. He says, "Your relationship with your father was your critical initial interaction with the masculine gender." Obviously, he's talking about your as being the daughter or the female. "So your relationship with your father was your critical initial interaction with the masculine gender. He was the first man whose attention you wanted to gain. He was the first man you flirted with. The first man to cuddle you and kiss you. The first man to prize you as a very special girl among all other girls. All of these experiences with your father were vital to the nurturing of the element which makes you different from him and all other men, your femininity. The fawning attention of a father for his daughter prepares her for a uniquely feminine role as a girlfriend, fiancé, and wife. If there was something lacking in your relationship with your father when you were a child, the development of your femininity suffered the most. Why? As a little girl, you by nature expressed all the budding traits of the feminine gender. If your father was emotionally or physically absent, or was harsh, rejecting or angry toward you, you automatically and subconsciously attached his disapproval to your femininity. You didn't have the intellectual capacity to understand his rejection, nor did you have the inner defensive structure to insulate yourself against it. You simply and naively reasoned, I want Daddy to like me. Daddy doesn't like me the way I am. I will change the way I am so Daddy will like me. When a father does not value or respond to his daughter's femininity, she is stunned in her development. When a daughter has little experience in delighting her father as a child, she is incomplete. She is left to discover her femininity for herself, often with tragic results in her relationships with men. And the only reason I read that, well, there's two reasons. One, I thought it's also very appropriate for Ian and the little one being dedicated this morning. But the other reason also is that we as men have a very big responsibility. We tend to, and I don't have a boy, but we tend to relate and impart and those sort of things a lot easier to our boys. And I'm talking out of other people that have spoken, amongst other people, Dr. James Dobson. But we have a massive responsibility to ensure that our little girls are raised up in the way that, and become the feminine beauty that God wants her to be. And, so that's the only reason that I read that part, is that in essence today, I want all of us to stand up and start leading if we are not leading. And if you are leading, to pray and impart that unto the one that you're going to pray for just now. That, there's an element of leading in the household. There's an element of, if you're not married yet, you are going to lead your household. If you're not leading a small, you're going to lead in some sphere of life. It is just a fact. If you're a child of God, you are going to lead. Okay? So, make a peace with that fact. Whether you like leading or not, you are going to lead if you want to serve God. First, you're going to be a follower of God, and then you're going to lead, because that's inherently combined with a call that he calls us with. Okay, the last scripture that I just want to read for us says, Don, you can have that other clip also just ready if it's possible, okay? This is this is obviously from Onze Vader, the Lord's Prayer. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he goes on to the rest of that prayer. The whole time he talks about plural. Deliver us from temptation. Or lead us not in temptation. Give us today our daily bread. So the whole time it's plural. Us serving God cannot only be as an individual. It is our Father. And we need to get our heads around that. It is we are sons, we are brothers. Yeah. Okay, and we need to start relating to one another as brothers. In terms of, let's start opening up to one another. You don't have to spill all your dirty laundry with everybody. And I'm not asking that. God, I don't even think, asked that. But there's a sense of liberty when you start doing that. With your little ones out, I can say this now. for example, the devil used to accuse me a lot in terms of things in the past that I did. For example, what's it in English? I spied on my uncle and my aunt through their bathroom window when they took a bath, whatever, when I was in school. And I mean, I was, I repented, et cetera, et cetera. And, I knew I was washed clean, but there was the whole time I felt this accusation. And I just felt God say, well, go and confess that to your uncle and your aunt. That is obviously quite a challenge to do. If they don't know that, please, I'm not saying that you need to go and confess to every single person that you wronged in anything like that. There was just something that God placed in my heart. And I did it, and the one time I did it with my uncle, and the other time I did it with my aunt. I was dying like a thousand deaths, but anyway, I said, and they were like, oh, okay. And I didn't really know what to say about that. But anyway, I did it, and there was just this massive burden off my shoulders. So I came out of the light and said, you know what? There's something in my heart that I need to tell you. It's it's just something that God has placed in my heart. And I just want to say sorry for this, and I repent of that. I'm sorry. And coming with a humble attitude, and they're like, okay, it's fine. Don't worry about it. We were all young, whatever. So there was a massive release in that. And I'm not saying do that for everything. All I'm saying is that when we bring things into the light, when we confess it to one of our brothers, there's a release that happens. There's a release of shame. There's a release of condemnation. And it actually brings you to a place eventually where you can stand and testify about it in front of people. If I had to bring this up for the very first time here, it's a different ballgame. So what I'm saying is, let's start being transparent with one another as brothers. Some things you can't tell the ladies. Okay, it's just they don't have understanding for it. Even in marriage, be open and transparent and repentant to your wives. Do that. There's certain things that it's perhaps wise to confess to one of your brothers first, and see, do I run this past my wife afterwards or not? Okay, not too much detail. Last video clip, and then there's one or two things that I want us to pray for one another. Amen. Ian, so you're from Silicon Valley. It's a very short clip. That one as well, although that's also very powerful. But yeah, that's just one of the clips that we use in Encounter 2, also just to get the conversation going. And the reason I showed that is that when we look at the armor in Ephesians 6, and there's nothing that covers your back. And when you're in battle, you got defensive things and you got the sword to attack with, but there's nothing that's covering your back. Now, a lot of times what we read in scripture, or how we interpret scripture a lot of times, is as long as I remain standing, I'll be fine. But the devil has been around a little bit longer than we have, and he figures ways out how to circle around us and hit us from the back. And that's why it's important that the reason why I showed this video clip is that there's an element of where we start locking shields with one another, and where that circle starts not to be able to be penetrated, because then you all face up front and you can't be circled around. So your buddy actually has your back, and that is what I trust that just would drop here with us today, is that we would have one another's back. I don't know if most of you know this, there's a lot of lonely people in our church. Okay, I say a lot. I don't know about a lot. I know of lonely people in our church, lonely guys in church. They're waiting for us to just invite them over for a braai. So you know what? Kom ons kuier. How are you doing? What are you going through? And we sort of take it for granted, especially if we've been around for a while. If we see a guy that he's been here, seen him for months here, but you haven't necessarily made the effort to really get to know him. And as we are going to grow as a church, it's going to be a continual challenge to make sure that there isn't people around that are sitting on their own, because they're soft targets for the enemy. And we want we want those guys to be strong as well. If they need healing, if they need time where they're just gonna, where they just want to be on the back burner, then surround him. These guys went into a battlefield where they surrounded guys, hostages. They cut them loose, and as a circle, they removed them from the battlefield. And there's a place for that as well, and identify such guys. Don't place a burden on him and say, dude, now you have to fight, now you have to fight. If he can't fight, then you fight on his behalf for a little while until he gets well, and then you start fighting. And then you help him, then you train him, and you get him to fight. And some of us have a lot to impart to others. And a lot of us are holding back as well. And you don't need a pulpit to impart to others. You might just need a flacy and a pint. So I'm gonna close for us. And then what I've got is you can go wherever you're comfortable, but I want you to at least in groups of three, if you're comfortable with the guys that you know, to just pray for one another. Okay? There's a couple of things that I want you to say. I want you to introduce yourself to that person. Tell him who you are. In the light of what I've shared earlier, I want you also to be blunt with who you are in terms of where you are in relationship with God. What I mean with that is that some of us might not have taken that step of receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you know what? We're not going to condemn you either. But we want you if you don't know Jesus, you say, I don't know Jesus. If you want to receive him, then yes, then we're going to pray for you to receive Jesus. But if you don't want to, okay, we're not going to force you to. And we want you to be here. We want you to be comfortable. It isn't a very important thing. It is of eternal significance. And we want to have a conversation. If you don't know God, just be honest about it. It's fine. You might even say, I don't believe what you believe. And that is also fine. Say it. You don't have to be shy about it. Okay. However, I want to also just put a challenge out to those that say that I don't believe what we believe. I want to encourage you to stick around a little while. Come back again. There's some things that are going to happen in people's lives around you that you'll start to get to know you, that you won't be able to describe as coincidence or normal. Somebody gets healed. That's not normal in our society. When Herman gets a word from God on the other side of the city and I get the same word the same night, that's not coincidence. That is God speaking to us. That's just a couple of examples. There's obviously a lot of examples. But what I'm saying is that I just want to put the challenge out there that if you don't believe the same as us, that is fine. You can stick around here for as long as you want. We'll love you also for as long as you come. But I just want us to be bold in the conversation that we have. And facilitators and zone coaches, I want to encourage you that you are not allowed to be in the same group as another facilitator or zone coach. Okay? That's the only rule I'm making here in terms of when we divide into groups here. That, and then I want groups bigger than three. Okay? And I'll put some oil there at the door. As you go, you can just take a dab. What the oil is just, it's a representation just of it's just an outward symbol just of anointing one another, anointing the Holy Spirit. And I want you to specifically anoint the other guys, depending on where they are. I want you to specifically pray for them that they would lead. Okay, there's an anointing, there's a grace that God gives us as men to lead. And it's not necessarily supposed to be such a massive burden. Yes, sometimes in the beginning it can be, especially if you've stopped leading. But there's a release that I'm trusting that we would pray for one another for, that we would lead in all spheres of life, at work, in our homes, especially in church, wherever we go in society. Okay, amen. Okay, this might be an odd time to ask this, but anybody that's got a specific question on their heart? It's not really supposed to be a Q&A session, but there's somebody that's got maybe a question on their heart that's burning to ask. Not okay. Let's pray. So Father, I just want to thank you, God, that you've called us, God, as men, God. And Lord, it's also in a strange way, it's significant that the children are here with us today, God. That you've raised us, you're raising us up, God, to be protectors, God. To protect our families, to protect one another. To at times be able to fight, God, but also at times to be very tender, God, with our children and with our wives, God. And also nurturing people back to health. And I thank you, God, for the boldness that you want to raise up within us, God, in Jesus' name, God. And I pray, God, that as we go from here, that every single one of us, God, will remember the words of the words that you say, God, that we are yours. God, where you say in your word that for those that are called upon your name, for those that have received you, you've given the right to become children of God. And Lord, by that we are defined to be your sons, God. In Jesus' name, God. And I pray that that echo out of the Lion King will just echo into our hearts, God, that remember who you are. Remember who you are. And Lord, it is our desire, God, to follow wholeheartedly after you and everything that you've called us, God. In Jesus' name. We don't want to make a separate doctrine out of the movie, God, but there's certain truths that come out of there, God, that are very real, that relates to our lives, God. And that we would start walking straight up as men, God. And that we would not fall into a pity party, God, if we stumbled or struggled, God. But that we would just strengthen our shields, God. Lock in tighter. Be extreme about the things that we need to put in place, God. In Jesus' name. May you bring in us, God, just the transparency to be open with one another and say, I struggle with this or that, Lord. In Jesus' name, God. I pray, God, as the scripture says, that you've not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of love and of power and a sound mind. May you simultaneously, when you're making us as to stand strong as men, God, simultaneously, God, enable us, God, to become like little children and just be ourselves, God, and not just to try and be someone else, who somebody else wants us to be, but to be who you are calling us to be, God. We want to believe every single word that is in the Bible, God, that you say, God. And I thank you that you help us to understand your word in context through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for your time, guys. A couple of practicalities. Things that I want you to pray for one another for. I want you to anoint one another. Might be the first time that you do this or get anointed. But it's in the Bible. You can go and read it. Just literally just anoint the person on the forehead and say, in Jesus' name, I pray that this person will be a leader wherever he goes, in his home, in the workplace, wherever. Okay, so introduce yourself. Just tell the person, the two guys that are with you, a little bit about yourself. And if you want to share something specific with those guys, you're welcome to. But otherwise, then you start praying for one another. And trust God for a word for that person specifically. Okay. So if you've finished praying, you're welcome to go. I'm not sure the ladies, good chance the ladies are still busy. No. Okay. So obviously as soon as you start seeing ladies outside, then you know, well, that's sort of a go ahead. Otherwise you can go play around on the rugby field. Then the last thing also that I want to ask that each guy just take at least one chair up back to the hall, please. And that's it from my side. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Geef me daar eens onder die tafel.